started last week with the melacha of bone, building, and we had discussed an extension of building as building a tent. So we know there are 39 prohibited acts, lametet melachot. One of them is bone, building, which would be building a house, building an extension. That's where I built something that I attach. So I attach mortar, I attach bricks, I attach wood, I nail in pieces of wood. When we speak about the task of bone, I am actually building something with a certain element of permanence. Then we have an extension of that, a tolada, a derivative of the task, which is biblically prohibited, which is the building of a tent. Now, building a tent, by definition, is something which is a little bit with less permanence than a house, than bone. The essence of a tent is that it creates separation. Either separation from the elements, from the sun, from the rain, or separation from other people. It gives you an area of privacy. And that's why Ohel also extends to the prohibition of setting up a mechitza, a wall, a barrier, a curtain, which will give me privacy from other people or will allow me to do certain things. So we have the building of a tent. We have the building of some kind of barrier, a mechitza. Both of those, if they have a certain level of permanence, they are prohibited biblically. If they do not have permanence, if they are only there for a few hours or a few days, then they are prohibited rabbinically. The cutoff point may be 3 days. Different opinions as to whether the cutoff point is 30 days or 3 days. But either way, it's a cutoff point between biblical and rabbinic. So setting up a canopy can be a biblical prohibition. If my porch is hot or I want to make a kiddush and suddenly it's broiling, so we want to spread out a canopy overhead and it's going to stay there. People are going to use it on Shabbat and let's say until Tuesday. So I might have run into the biblical prohibition of Ohel. If I'm only going to set up that canopy for Shabbat, so I'm only dealing with the rabbinic prohibition of Ohel, it's still prohibited. So that's step one. This is all stuff which we discussed last week. To the best of my knowledge, you all have questions, so we'll pause. Yes, Daniel.
The net question would be concerned during the, like, at the time of Abraham, that would be like permanent. Like today, it's permanent.
Okay. First of all, those who are in the army know that they do build tents, and those tents can stay there for a month, and that's a biblical prohibition of building a tent. So we do build tents. You build it for Shabbat, there's no problem. Secondly, when people go camping, sometimes their tent collapses in the middle of the night. To rebuild it on Shabbat would be a prohibition. Biblical or rabbinic, it's still prohibited. So you do run into this question of building a tent. What's prohibited? Thirdly, as we discussed, there are other areas where we run into the question. We'll discuss, I hope, on Sukkot, some people have movable roofs. That's permitted. We'll discuss why. Okay, so that's a question not in the laws of building tents. It's a question of pikuach nefesh. So remind me if you want. The next thing we'll learn are the laws of pikuach nefesh. Remind me. Yes. We started discussing that. You guys asked questions about that. So we started discussing that, right. Okay. We started discussing that last week.
This is actually a two-parter. My second part was, there was, back in Detroit, there was, I would stay at Kabbalah for Shabbos, and there was a certain room that I would oftentimes stay in. And that room, the door was, it was glass. It was see through. So for modesty's sake, I would take a sheet close it into the door.
Right. So let's hold off. We'll get there. Okay. We'll discuss why that's not a problem.
Okay.
Okay? But let's build our way up. Slowly build our understanding. Okay? So we began with an understanding that a tent is with permanence. We discussed last week that a tent has to be for the sake of space under it. So if I take, let's say, a plastic what they call in Hebrew brazent, the thick plastic, and I'm going to place it over my car, or I'm going to place it on a table. Technically, there's no space under it. You have to have airspace, usable airspace of a tefach, a hands width, by a tefach, hands width height, by a tefach, hands width depth. Okay? A tefach cubed. So you guys asked last week, what would be with regards to if I'm going to spread out a plastic over a table? So we discussed last week that ordinarily a tablecloth is considered that I'm not interested in protecting what's under it. I'm putting the tablecloth for using what's above it. So that's it's assumed that that's permissible to spread a tablecloth over a table on Shabbat. You guys asked, what happens if I am interested in what's under it? Namely, if I have a table outside in the sun, and I'm going to spread a plastic to cover the table, to protect it from the rain, from the sun. So then you asked, do we say that I've now spread a tablecloth where under the table I have space, and the purpose of spreading the tablecloth was actually to cover the table. So is that considered spreading a tent on Shabbat? So I told you I'm not sure. I asked the question to a rabbi in the Old City, and he argued that when we look at that tent that you've created with spreading the plastic over the table, he said that the top of that tent would be the table itself. Just because you spread the plastic over the table, from your end, the plastic isn't covering the space under the table. The space under the table is covered by the table. And that was there beforehand. You didn't create a tent with that. And that's why I said it would be permissible to spread a plastic over a table, because he said between the plastic and the table, there's no space, the plastic sitting on the table. And under the table, well, that's covered by the table. That's not covered. Your purpose with that is not to be covered by the tablecloth. So that was his argument. Personally, I'm not 100% convinced. I still have to think about it. But that's what he said. So you have an answer. What?
Like a giant table.
Oh, so as far as the table, we're going to get there. The Talmud discusses a traskal amit kapel. They used to have foldable seats. It's called traskal amit kapel. They used to have these seats. You see old people sometimes have them. They go to the bus stop, they open up a seat, they sit down on it, and the bus comes. It folds up onto their cane or something, and they keep walking. And the Talmud says that's not a problem. So we infer from that things that are built with hinges, things that are built that they can collapse and open and close, that's not considered building a tent. And that's why, let's say, you can open a table on Shabbos. Why are you allowed to open the table? Because the table is built to be folded and opened. And the question arises when you have those tables like at wedding halls that you have to put 2 feet down, you stand them up, and then you put the board above them. That we will still get to. That's where you run into a question, where you have a frame and you're actually going to place the board of the table on top. But so long as it's one body with hinges, that's okay. And the same would go true for a roof, a movable roof that people have on Sukkot sometimes. Being that it's attached with hinges, it's permissible. And that's also what permits the trisim. Here in Israel, we have it outside the window. You have that tris. I don't know what it's called in English. The shutter that you roll down. So you're technically creating a wall when you roll down that shutter. You pull it up, it rolls up. You let it down, you've just created a wall. And that wall could be a wall for modesty. But because it's attached with hinges, so that's permissible on Shabbos. Because otherwise, you could ask the same question about closing the door. When the door's open, you have no mechitza there. You close the door, you created a mechitza there. The reason it's permissible is that things that are attached with hinges are permissible. Another leniency is when the mechitza cannot stand without people holding it. So that would also be permissible. So that's why, let's say, on Simchat Torah, we have the children standing under a talis, which everyone holds over their head. Why isn't that an ohel? Because that's an ohel that can only be supported by humans. It's not standing without you holding it. So that's why that's permissible. The same is true. There's a custom when there's a chatan that people accompany him outside shul and they carry a talis over his head. Same idea. That's permissible because that's an ohel that only stands with human support. An ohel that can only stand with human support is permissible. Tov. So we've started. We still have to get to an umbrella. Why is that not an ohel that stands by human support? And there's Hashem next week.